host, Victoria Rivadeneira, the Riva regulars, special guests, and your call-in comments. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution, revolution, revolution.
Good evening and welcome to the Real Estate Revolution on New York's AM 1700 WRCR. We are here live every Wednesday at 6 p.m., and you can call in and join the discussion at 845-362-0013. We also live video stream at facebook.com/ Victoria RIVA and periscope.tv/TheRE Revolution and YouTube on the YouTube Revolution channel. I'm Victoria Rivadeneira, and I'm here with Phil Ferranda. How you doing today, Phil?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great. You're not here alone today.
I'm not here alone. You look well. It's a beautiful day. We all live indoors. We're blessed.
And you had a very special day last week.
I did. I took another trip around the sun.
You thought you were going to get away with no song today?
Okay, should I dance?
Absolutely.
Should I? Yeah.
You have to look at the camera when you dance,
camera.
Though. That's the whole reason we video live
both.
Stream.
I don't think I can do both. I can look at the camera.
So, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you very much.
We're really happy that you're a part of the show, and we're happy that you celebrated another birthday. Anytime you're on the right side of the grass, it's a good thing, right?
I am with you, yes.
Yep. So, Phil, we are currently experiencing a very interesting market.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
I would say there's never a dull moment in this industry, and anytime you have human beings, money, and housing combined, it makes for quite the tie-dye of emotions.
Well said. Very good. Well, on a national level, pending sales have been steadily increasing each month for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know that. I know that.
Right.
The latest numbers, though, reflect that the month of May, on a national level, not New York, because New York is a little bit different, and I'll get into that in a minute, but on a national level, we've experienced a decline of about 3.7% in pending sales.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is?
I think it has to do with lower inventory. Interest rates can be, you know, 1%, but if there is no houses to buy, then folks are going to wait. The other thing is that New York is losing population. So when people do move out of their parents' house, when people do relocate, oftentimes they're relocating for tax purposes to other locales.
Well, I'm actually talking on a local, on a national level, that it fell 3.7. In New York, it actually went up. So New York is still on the rise right now.
Oh, okay. So I'm making
stuff up.
Well, that's what we do sometimes.
It's okay. But I do like what you said. You said that there's just simply not enough enough homes on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's not enough homes, we just can't satisfy the demand of the buyers.
So what you're saying is New York is up, but the rest of the country is down.
That is correct.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, so I'll speak to that.
Okay.
I'll make up something different. How does that sound? All right.
Good.
What I'll make up is that
I have some real stats, so you don't have to make them up, but go ahead.
That's
I want to hear
I'll make up my own interpretation, though. Okay?
All right.
So it's down. It's not down dramatically. 3.7% is something, but it's not earth-shattering. But we are in an election year.
Yes.
Okay. That creates a little bit of uncertainty.
But we're not going there.
And this is not your typical election year either.
You're going there anyway, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
Just an observation, no matter where you sit on the political fence. It's an atypical election year. Nothing like you and I have ever seen in our lifetime.
This is very true.
Okay. We're at the end of a bond cycle. All right?
Very true.
And I said that because it sounds smart. Right? We're at the end of a bond cycle. I'll just let that hang there. All right? And let smarter people other than I turn to the people that they're with and explain what that means. But there is uncertainty, and that's probably why the people at the very fringe, the very end of the bell curve, are staying put, whereas in other environments they might be moving.
Right. So you said you were going to speak on New York, but you failed to do so.
Why are transactions up locally?
Yes. Well, let me tell you what they're up by. So pending sales are up by 7.6%.
Mm-hmm.
Closed sales are up more than 10%.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, inventory is still down here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an opinion on why that is, but I'd like to hear your opinion.
I'd like you to go first, but you want me to go first?
I do.
Okay, fine. Why is stuff up in New York? Let's give this a shot. My company grew.
There you go. That's the reason, right?
Ding, 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 ding.
That's the real reason.
Okay, so we'll use that one.
I actually think it's because the foreclosures and short sales are still pending here in New York. You don't see that in the rest of the country. Most of that is gone. Mm-hmm. We're in a seller's market in most of the country. That's really holding New York back a little bit mm-hmm. because we are a judicial state. So, you know, we're kind of lagging behind the rest of the country. New Jersey is a second to that. So that's my opinion. I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, actually, I'll tell you what. I don't know why New York would be so much higher than the rest of the country. I really don't. Our taxes are higher. Our closing costs
maybe
are higher.
Maybe they just want to live near you.
Well, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm a good neighbor.
Yeah. I would imagine that you are a good neighbor.
Just don't ask my neighbors.
Yeah. You have a dog, too, right?
I have a dog that got out yesterday and went into my neighbor's yard with their kids and their new people. Poor people moved in a month ago, and they have my dog running around their yard.
I hate to tell you this, Phil, but that does not qualify as a good neighbor.
Yeah, it doesn't.
No, it absolutely does not.
I did apologize profusely, though.
So going back to New York, mm-hmm. the May supply of inventory is about 7.5 months, so we're getting closer to a seller's market statewide.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good news.
Let me clarify one thing. Are we talking about the state of New York? Are we talking about
state.
New York City?
No, New York City changes everything, but we're talking about the state of New York, and I am looking at NAR statistics, so a lot of New York City is not even reported in those statistics.
Okay, so I will say that if we're going to take the whole state into account, I would say that the recovery domino has started to fall upstate more than it has in past years, and that's probably why we're up.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, despite the decline, existing home sales this year are still expected to be around 5.44 million homes, mm-hmm. which will be slightly higher than 2015. Because in 2015, we all know it was like, what, 5.2 million that sold last year.
Okay, well, okay, I'll buy that.
Okay. See, I'm not making them up, Phil. I promise you, these are real stats.
We have real stats.
I said that you and I know because we did talk about this on a previous show. And I think you were the one who brought in the 5.2 million homes that sold.
I'll take credit for it.
All right. Sounds good. I think that we have a caller on the line, even though we're not done with our stats, but I want to go to that caller. Caller, are you with us?
I am.
Hey, that really sounds like a familiar voice.
Hi.
It should.
Uh-huh. Because you are one of our...
Is this Coach?
This is one of our wonderful sponsors, right? Who's this?
It's Coach Fino.
Oh, it's Coach Fino. I thought it was someone else.
Well, you know, since we're talking about New York, let's talk about Pennsylvania.
Well, I can tell you this much. First of all, I wanted to respond to why New York is up, and I think it's because of the law of unintended consequences.
The law of unintended consequences. I know where that came from.
Yes, it came from last week. But
definitely came from last week.
Do go on.
No, I just thought that sounded good.
So you're also making stuff up as you go along, huh?
I was trying to give you some fodder there, Phil. No, obviously I can't speak to New York, but I can tell you what's going on in PA.
What's going on in PA?
Specifically in Central PA, we're seeing another increase in employment. Employment's going well, although not dramatically well. It's slowed down, but employment's going well. And sure enough, our housing market's reflecting that. What's amazing, though, is that for that first-time home buyer for us, this is a hot market. You're getting multiple offers and et cetera. But the minute you go up to the next price level and the next price level, it's still feeling sluggish.
Same thing
big
here.
Difference.
It's the same thing here. I think there's among starter homes you're finding a hot market. I think among move up homes, among more you know, affluent, more high dollar transactions, more high dollar properties, it cools off somewhat. So starter homes absolutely are hot, but when you get into what I would call perhaps the luxury move-up market, it is still far more price-sensitive, and I think there's still actually high inventory among the really super high costs compared to starter homes, which are flying off the shelves.
Yep. So you're seeing that as well there in Pennsylvania, is that right?
Yeah, and a matter of fact, in that high end, that's where I think there's some huge opportunities. You mm-hmm. can get some serious square footage at a low interest rate, and I'm floored by some of the opportunities that are still out there.
Yep. So, Coach Fino, since we have you on the line, I know you will appreciate this. I'm going to take this a little bit off of topic for just one second. So today, before we started the show, because of you, Coach Fino, I, Victoria Rivadeneira, I was giving out kisses today.
Oh,
do you know why?
Oh, share. Please share.
Come on, tell us why I was giving out kisses today at the studio.
Well, I'm sure it might have been that little package that you got sent from Chocolate Town, USA.
Yes, the sweetest place on earth. Thank you very much. So Rich Fino sent us a big box of Hershey's chocolate.
I got two, and they melted in my mouth. It was awesome.
It was wonderful. Thank you very much for that, by the way.
I am a recovering chocoholic, and I thank you for getting me to fall off the wagon, Rich.
I want you to know that one I sent up, you can only get that flavor here in Hershey. So if you want more, you got to reach out to me.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good plan.
Road
we will
trip.
Definitely do that. So I want to go back to our stats here. Thank you, Coach Fino, for participating. You're welcome to stay on the line if you'd like.
Sure. It's a great way to listen to the show.
All right. Awesome. So buyer confidence is high, Phil.
Uh-huh.
We know that real estate builds wealth. I know you know that. I know that. You know, mm-hmm. we definitely agree on this. And now the rest of the public is beginning to agree with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that confidence is definitely back. Market prices are increasing. So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
To hire a real estate agent or not to hire a real estate agent? That's my question of the day.
I will admit some bias, but I think that data will prove that to not hire a real estate agent is to tempt fate.
Mm. Why do you say that?
Most of the real estate problems I have seen, especially in the last 5 years when we worked with distressed property, when we've worked with short sales, people facing foreclosure, the look back has been transactions where it was either underbrokered or unbrokered. Think about this, and I'll draw this out just a bit. If you're going to put in an extra bathroom in your basement, you have to hire an architect, you have to hire a electrician, you have to hire a plumber, you have to hire a contractor. Then you have to go to the town, you have to ask for permission, you have to draw plans up, you have to do all kinds of different things with the assistance of professionals just to get an extra place in your house to shave and do some other things we're not going to talk about, okay?
Thank you for that.
A 5x10 room.
Mm-hmm.
The largest transaction of your life to make that a do-it-yourself project without the assistance of someone who's got experience, who understands negotiation, who has been down this road before, is so inadvisable that a mistake can be an absolute financial catastrophe.
That is a very, very good point. You know, I believe that most people are also aware of a claim that real estate agents sell homes for 13% higher than for sale by owners.
Mm-hmm.
This claim is found in the 2014 profile of home buyers and sellers that's put out by the National Association of Realtors.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that you have it. I'm sure you've read it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've quoted it a million times. The exact statement reads, for sale by owners typically have a lower median selling price of $208,700 compared to $235,000.
Mm-hmm.
Thus, the typical agent-assisted home sale typically has a 13% higher sales price than the typical for sale by owner sale.
I agree with it. There may be some that say, well, that's the NAR and they're biased and they you know, they have their own agenda. But I will give you a more personal example of why I believe that is credible.
Okay.
2005, 6, 7, and 8. I ran, in conjunction with my firm, a for sale by owner assistance firm.
Okay.
Okay. For a couple of $100, we would put a home on the MLS and allow people to ostensibly represent themselves and save money, and I'm using the quotey mm-hmm. gesture here, and save money in the line item of the commission. And you never saw such a comedy of errors, and really not funny, but a tragedy of errors when people were brokering their own homes. And
do you have any examples? Do you have some?
I'll
stories?
Give you a great example. Town of Pelham. We took a listing for, I believe, about $800,000. And every few months, he would put in a request to lower the price. We would lower the price for him. We didn't do anything else. We were very limited service with that particular model. And about a year later, he ended up selling for $650,000. Somewhere along the way, I asked him, why do you keep reducing your price? We see the offers coming in because they come through us. Why are you reducing your price? And he said, well, I read on a blog that you don't sign a contract with somebody unless they have a mortgage commitment.
Wow.
Now, for those out there in radio land, you don't get a mortgage commitment until you have a signed contract. He got it backwards. This guy cost himself $150,000. The fact that he saved 2 or 3% is just a line item. He netted an enormous amount less than he could have if he had a professional giving him the proper advice and guidance and counsel. To say nothing of the fact that he probably didn't negotiate very well for himself, and he was just, unfortunately, ignorant to how the business is done. This is too big, too multi-layered, too complicated, and too expensive to do it yourself.
Well, you hit a point that I say all the time. You said he could not negotiate for himself. I find it very difficult for anyone to negotiate for themselves. I mean, especially with a home, it's very emotional. Mm-hmm. You know, a buyer comes in and they make a comment about something that is very near and dear to you, maybe something that a loved one built for you that's no longer with you. You know, and all of a sudden, you immediately dislike this person. You're not going to listen to what they have to say. You know that you don't want to sell the house to them because you know they're going to take that down.
Right.
You know, you have this, you know, this this feeling that even though you're selling the house, everything's supposed to stay the way it is because it's an emotional transaction. And I do believe removing yourself from that will definitely bring you in a higher price and better terms. And, you know, whenever there's no emotion, it's always a better business transaction.
Having an objective mind. Forget about expertise for a moment. Having simply an objective mind stewarding the transaction and taking the sentiment and the subjectivity out of the proceedings can only do good for the transaction.
Agreed.
So,
absolutely agreed. And yet, approximately 500,000 homes are sold in the U.S. directly from the seller to the buyer.
Uh-huh.
Now, I mentioned the claim that we talked about before that NAR put out, and there's a lot of controversy regarding that statement because people say that the numbers don't lie, and then other people say, but statistics can be skewed, and you know, it's a very misleading statement because are you saying if I list with a realtor that I'm going to get 13% more? No, that is not what it's saying. However, there are people who are out there believing that, and
you might get 20%
spin
more
on it.
You might get 20% more. Good example. The founder of a owner website, a for sale by owner website. We'll leave the URL out of it, but a guy that founded a for sale by owner website could not sell his condo in New York City. He hired a broker.
Mm-hmm.
The broker not only sold it, he sold it for six figures more than
six
what it didn't
more.
Sell for as a buy owner.
Nice.
All right, and this made the Wall Street Journal. This made all the media. It actually made national news. It made national news, and it was such a professional embarrassment for the client that he actually litigated against the real estate agent for talking about it to the media. He lost there too, simply because it's public, you know, public record.
Right.
So to talk about a publicly transfer of title is not a breach of confidentiality. That is a true example. It's an anecdotal example, perhaps, but it is a true example of a professional doing a good job.
Okay. So I have a question for you before we go to break.
Sure.
For sale by owners sell their own home because basically they want to save money. That's the belief system. You know, if I sell it myself, I don't have to pay the realtor.
Sure.
So would you say that there are more luxury homes or more low-priced homes that are sold by the owner directly?
Well, I'm a broker, so I sort of have a front row seat to this. And I will tell you that the more financially savvy a consumer is, the more likely they are to hire a professional for a certain job.
Ding, ding, ding. You get a piece of chocolate.
So
You definitely have the right answer.
Yeah.
FSBOs are much more common with the less expensive homes and mobile homes than they are in the luxury market. Hold that thought. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
Revolution.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time for the revolution. The real estate solution. We sought you that confusion. Come join the revolution.
And we're back. If you'd like to join the discussion today, you can call us at 845-362-0013. I'm Victoria Rivadeneira, and I'm here with Phil Ferranda. We are talking about for sale by owners versus hiring a real estate agent. And we do have a caller on the line. Caller, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello.
How are you this evening?
Vinny Romano.
It's me. What's going on?
How are you today?
Well, I'm absolutely extraordinary. I'm blessed with another day to plot and plan, and I'm listening to the Real Estate Revolution, the favorite show on radio, so who could possibly ask for more?
Awesome. So, Vinny, we're talking about for sale by owners versus hiring a real estate agent, and I'm sure you have a lot to add to that.
Well, a few points. Number one is a quote that's been attributed to many people, and I believe that it was originally from Abraham Lincoln, who said, quote, "He who represents himself as a fool for a client."
And we love that.
Yes, it was originally a law quote, but I believe it works in real estate. Now, I don't have that much industry business. I've only been in real estate since 1987. So with that in mind, it's only 29 years. There's two things I'd like to say. In the old days, in 1987, 88, 89, it was easier to sell FSBO because there were less laws and there were just less encumbrances to making a sale happen, no buyer representation and stuff. It was harder to market a property, and that's why real estate agents had the edge over for sale by owner in that way. Today, it's easier to market a property, but to piggyback on something Phil just said, it's so complex a deal nowadays that one small mistake could literally cost you tons of money. So even though you might want to do this, go for sale by owner, it's really not a great idea. It's my personal opinion. And one more thing, I only said two things, it would be this. The reason the lower priced homes are more likely to go for sale by owner is due to margin. When you have a smaller home, I'm sorry, a lower priced home, typically it'll be a bread and butter home. This is as Phil has said over and over, it's your number one biggest investment most people will ever make. On the higher end, it's typical that these people have more expendable income, more resources, and therefore more flexibility in margin. So they just have the latitude to just say, somebody take it. And it's always the better move.
Well, we agree with that.
It's really hard to argue with that. And it comes from a different angle. Even though the savings is smaller, the margins are smaller. So if a lower cost home saves $9,000 as a for sale by owner, whereas a $1 million house would save tens of thousands of dollars, that's $9,000 that the for sale by owner might think they don't have, when the fact of the matter is they'll do far better hiring a professional to maximize their proceeds.
Absolutely.
So it's a perception and not necessarily a reality, especially when you take into account the sentiment, the subjectivity, and really the lack of expertise that the homeowner may have. Couple good cases in point, Victoria. You might own a home and you're on septic, and you don't know what the local laws are since you bought the house in terms of delivering the house with a septic tank that's in compliance. You may think that a house you bought in 1987 when Vinny got into the business and I was young.
Three.
5 years old.
Three.
When I was 20. You know, it might have been a two-bedroom home at the time. All right? Now they had a lot of kids. They converted one of the rooms, a den, into another bedroom. They're selling it as a three-bedroom, and they don't know that because of the septic capacity, this is still a two-bedroom home. And here we have a problem where the appraiser comes in, they look at the public records, they say, we're very sorry, you just underappraised by $50,000 because you're a two-bedroom, you're not a three-bedroom.
That's
a
right.
good agent can circumvent that mistake. There may be a...
And wait, to your point, now what happens is the house is on the market for maybe 6, 7, 8 months
yeah.
before they have that buyer, and now the buyer goes away because the deal falls through, and what does the public think?
It's a
What's wrong with the house, right?
It is now a stale property.
That's right.
Which is why a good agent will tell you to not put it on the market unless you are truly ready, willing, and able to sell. A speculative listing can really harm the owner. We have said to prospective sellers who are just testing the market, if you will, that if you're not ready, willing, and able to truly take what the market will bring for your property, don't put it on.
That's right.
Because the internet's forever.
That's right. The internet is forever. And how do you get the best and highest offer? When you create a sense of urgency. How do you create a sense of urgency is right in the very beginning. You know as well as I do, and I know I keep saying the same thing because I know we're always in agreement, but we know this. When the house first hits the market, it's new. It's fresh. And we know that the inventory is so tight right now. So something new, fresh, priced right, will go. And what's the best thing that can happen is exactly what we're seeing right now, multiple offers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The seller's in the driver's seat when they have a bigger audience and you have a bigger audience with a broker.
That's right. And 87% of buyers
are working with an agent. So let's look at the numbers. About 500,000 properties sold without a broker last year.
That's correct.
5.4 million sold with a broker.
5.2 last year sold. They're estimating 5.4 million.
Okay,
but yes.
So the latest data is about 5.5
yep.
million compared to 5 million.
Correct.
So that's 90% of the market is brokered. Now, if we break that $500,000 sales, unbrokered sales down, we will see that some of these were nominal transfers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these were inherited homes.
That's correct.
Some of these were family transfers. Some of these were divorces where they were bought out.
Don't forget subdivisions, Phil.
Yeah. Some of these actually were new builds across the country. We don't talk about new builds a lot in New York because we don't have we're almost fully developed here. There's not a lot of new subdivisions going in. Lots of parts of Westchester and Rockland were built in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It's all fully developed. So when you parse down the number of, Ken and Barbie, we changed jobs, we're having a third kid, let's sell, then the fraction of that 500,000 that were successful for sale by owners is probably far less than that 10%.
Yes, it's a teeny tiny little sliver.
And that is taking the biggest investment of your life and making it a really long shot gamble. And a Hail Mary pass is not a business model.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Rich Fino is still on the line. So I just want to head back over to Coach Fino and see if there's anything you would like to add to this before we free up the line.
You know what? I just got a quick question. Why does there continue to people believing that the for sale by owner route is still a viable route?
There's six reasons.
Six reasons.
Sometimes there's only three reasons, but
there are six reasons.
Yeah. What are those reasons, Vinny?
The number one reason is they want to save the money, and if I can speak in behalf of the real estate agent, all those real estate agents out there, please understand that when a for sale by owner is trying to save the commission, they're trying to keep your money. It's your money. They're supposed to trying to take your money. I'm sorry, did I say that too loud? Number one is they keep the money. Number two is they might not trust agents. Not necessarily that they don't trust an agent per se. They don't think the agent is capable of representing their house in the way that they could with their loud mouth. Number three is they might be an expired convert. They gave it to a real estate agent, and for whatever reason, it was overpriced. For whatever reason, it was overpriced.
Chances are they gave it to their cousin who got their license last Tuesday.
Exactly. Flew over the house, gave him a comp that they took. It's expired, and now they figured the real estate couldn't do it. I'm going to do it. Number four is they have a do-it-yourself mentality.
That's a big one.
That is a big one.
People just think they could do it themselves. And when they build something, you look at it, and your head is sideways, and then it makes sense. Number five is they sold in the previous market when it was such a seller's market that anything was selling. It was just, you know, just anything would sell.
Right, with five backup offers.
Exactly. And number six is they do know a cousin, a friend, an aunt, an uncle, or their buddy who they think they're superior to. So therefore, they think if that person can do it, I can do it. It's easy. Anybody could really sell a home, especially with all the conveniences of the internet per se. That's the six reasons.
So how easy is this, Phil? Mm-hmm. You and I are here at the studio hosting this show, and we have callers that are calling in, answering questions and asking questions. This is great. All we have to do is monitor this.
All we need to do, just say hello, caller, let them take
over.
Well,
Vinny, thank you very much.
It helps to know smart people.
Excellent, excellent information, and I know Phil wants to add to that, so I'm going to give it back to him.
Okay, so the last point Vinny made is something that I'll expand on, and that is this. The fallacy of everything at your fingertips with the internet. If you are a home seller and you think, well, I can just put my home on Zillow and I'll have, I'll be visible to all consumers, then I don't need
an agent.
And they'll
be knocking my door down.
Right. The mentality that, well, look, someday buying a home will be like buying something on Amazon. It never will be like that for the reasons I talked about. It's too complicated. It's too multi-layered. It's too expensive. People don't trust free with something this big. You can put your house on Zillow, just like you can put your house on the multiple listing service with a limited service broker like I used to do, okay? That doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
There are still 100 things you have to do, like negotiate. You have to price it right. You have to do a CMA. You have to know how to deal with the buyer. You have to know what questions to ask the buyer.
And the number one rule for buyers, people do business with whom they like and trust.
Yeah.
They're not going online and saying, okay, that's the house. Let's just head over to contract. They're not doing that. They're going to contact their real estate agent because we talked about 87% of buyers are using a real estate agent. So even if they see your house on Zillow, they're not.
They're going to call their agent.
They're going to call their
agent.
And
then the seller is going to a gunfight with a knife because they are dealing with, in many cases, a very savvy buyer agent advocating for the buyer. So here's this. One of our agents recently listed a house that was a for sale by owner, basically. It was an attorney. He had listed it with a limited service company that for a couple hundred bucks put it on the multiple listing service. He was discouraged. He was tired. He was cynical. And he was almost embittered. He was tired. He listed it with us. What did we do that he couldn't do for himself? We got him professional photography. We had it staged professionally.
That's a big one, by the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Buyers are still into curb appeal. They're into presentation. We were hired by this guy for our marketing. So as tired as he was smart enough to hire Doug. Okay? What ended up happening? Not only did we sell it, we brought the buyer ourselves, right? We got it sold pretty quickly, within a month or two, it closed. And the amount of anxiety was completely taken out of this, other than the regular stress that somebody might go under, but nothing like this poor guy was dealing with prior. So, you know, mission accomplished from that point of view. And things like this happen all of the time. All of the time. Just about every for sale by owner that goes on the market as a by owner ends up listing 9 out of 10 times and sell successfully.
Yes, definitely agreed. So I want to go back to Coach Fino again because he is still on the line, and we do need to clear up these lines. Rich, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
It did. It did. I guess my summary, though, to hear what the whole conversation is this. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. They shouldn't let friends sell by owner either.
Ah, I like that. Very good.
All right.
Thank you, Coach Fino, and thank you very much for the chocolate once again.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rich.
We are going to go to break one more time, and we will be right back.
Revolution.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage. They will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138. Or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
It's time. We saw you left confusion. Come join the revolution.
And we're back. Again, if you would like to join the discussion, we can be reached here at 845-362-0013. And we are talking about the for sale by owner versus
hiring a broker.
Hiring a real estate broker or agent. So, Phil, you had said that you had a separate company outside of your brokerage that was helping for sale by owners.
Yes.
I'm curious to know what happened to that.
It was making money, and we closed it, not because it wasn't making money, but because we just couldn't take people's money in exchange for them messing up their transactions. So I just felt terrible watching people and enabling people to mess up their real estate transactions. I just closed it for moral reasons. I no longer do flat fee MLS. I no longer do flat fee real estate. There are plenty of people out there if they want to do it. But it's not something I felt good about doing, and I stopped doing it.
Yeah, I can understand that, definitely. This is, you know, the largest asset most people have, and they really deserve the proper attention, and that comes at a price, and it's a well-deserved price.
Prior to going live on the show, we talked about a couple of startups out there that believe they're going to reinvent real estate, and they're going to start giving more data to consumers, and they're getting, you know, they're investing millions of dollars in these new platforms where they'll give consumers more data and everything like that, and it'll change the industry. And I would suggest that that is going to be a big waste of money.
Yeah, well, you see that as the market gets better all the time. You know, anytime, you know, we've watched real estate. It is a cyclical business, and we've seen the market drop and we've seen the market come back.
Yes.
And every time it makes a comeback, you have discount brokerages that start to come about. And I think what you're talking about was more a lot of the millennials that are on the internet are now saying, well, there's an easier way to do this. There's the information. Let's put it out there. And we'll just grab some fast money because we'll put that same data that's out there and we'll tell everyone in the world which houses are on the market, and then they can go and deal directly with the homeowner.
Right. So there's a belief that if we give more data to the consumers, that we can create new business models. And here's what I would suggest. The smart money is not in that.
Buyers right now feel that there's information overload. They can't even decipher all the information that's out there. They need someone to come in and really guide them. It's not about the information anymore. It's about the guidance and the negotiation skill.
Okay, so two things.
Okay.
The smart money, I would say, is somewhere in the vicinity of Warren Buffett always. And what has Warren Buffett done? He's not investing in alternate business models. He invested heavily in the Berkshire Hathaway full-service real estate chain. So he is in regular real estate, all in, head and shoulders, as much as anyone else, as much as you are, as much as I am. Warren Buffett, smart guy, knows a thing or two about the future of markets.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. The second thing is that, as I alluded to before, finding the information, like on Amazon, like on half.com, like on eBay, it will never be that easy in real estate because it is too complicated. I would say, and I've suggested this in past shows, that finding a house online is not like buying something on Amazon or eBay. It is more like buying something on IKEA or from a lumber store online.
I love this analogy.
Because if you buy something from IKEA, if you buy a couch from IKEA, do you have a couch?
You do not. You have a million pieces.
You have a pile of lumber and screws and nuts and bolts and an Allen wrench.
And so, directions.
And
directions
still there.
In 40 languages, all right? So what you need is you either spend an enormous amount of your time, sanity, and stress. And by the way, you want to get in a fight with your significant other? Go to IKEA and build something together. That's always great. That always ends well. Or you hire someone, and you didn't end up saving money because you just hired someone to build the damn thing, or you lose a lot of time.
So, honey, why did we go to IKEA?
Yeah, and IKEA is great, and they have wonderful furniture, and I own IKEA furniture, but it would not substitute the real estate industry, and it's not going to take over the furniture industry. It's a fine option for people if they want to turn it into DIY, but then we're talking about a $500 couch, not the largest transaction of their life.
Plus, Phil, when it comes to information, if I gave you all the information you needed to do brain surgery, you are not a brain surgeon. So
I've been told that many times, actually. Thank you. But
however, if having the information and understanding what it means and having the ability to utilize the information to your own good, that's the key, and that's where the disconnect comes with people trying to do something that's a full-time profession part-time.
That's the point. So if you ask a lawyer what website gives them fits, they would say LegalZoom.com, because you can get a lot of people out there messing up their wills, messing up their trusts and estates, messing up their legal lives with a bunch of do-it-yourself law, okay, instead of hiring an attorney to do these simple things or complicated things sometimes. If you ask a physician what drives them crazy, it's probably a new parent who's up half the night looking up stuff on WebMD and Wikipedia and a bunch of nonsense out there on some of the more questionable websites, instead of listening to someone who has gone to medical school and completed a residency and knows how to cure illnesses and knows how to prevent illnesses. So the smart money. Housing, law, investing, medicine, whatever it is, you go with the trained professional.
Agreed. Okay, so we said 87% of buyers purchase their home through a real estate agent. But do you know how many sellers are assisted by real estate agents?
I'd say it's a similar percentage.
It is a very similar percentage. It's 89%.
89%. Yep. There you go.
So as a for sale by owner, you are now also competing with maybe someone down the street that has a team of professionals working with 87% of the buyers that are out there. So that's another thing that you want to keep in, you know, in the back of your mind if you're thinking about selling your home.
So let's talk about that for just a second.
One more quick point, please.
Sure, Vinny.
When people talk about for sale by owner success, they talk about the home is sold. And the reason I'm bringing this up is, once again, you guys talked about it earlier, selling the home is not necessarily the objective. It's selling the home for a fair and prudent price. So just because the FSBO sold, it doesn't mean they did a good job.
Earlier in the show, I had mentioned that some of the most horrific problems I had seen were from underbrokered and unbrokered transactions. So you couldn't be more correct. So let's talk about the team of people that works with someone. Because when you hire a real estate agent, you don't just get that agent. Okay, you get there if it's a good agent. Hopefully, mm-hmm. you're hiring a good agent. You're going to get their Rolodex, if you'll allow me to use that term. So, what does an agent have? They have a team of trusted professionals that they have vetted and can use. So they can refer you to a good real estate attorney if you're in a state where attorneys are used. They can help you find a home inspector. And by the way, if you're going to list your house, get it inspected mm-hmm. before you list it. Okay. Title companies, we know bankers, we know all butchers, bakers, candlestick makers. It's what we do, okay? But in a transaction, the transaction is as strong as its weakest link. If you have a good agent and you have a good home inspector look at the place and you have a good lender working with the buyer and you have a good agent on the other side, but you have a bad attorney, that's bad.
Mm-hmm. And you may not even know that. Now, if something comes up and you have an issue, you have no idea that there's creative ways to resolve that matter.
Having a communicative, competent advocate in all aspects of this, not just the real estate broker, but the attorney, the lender on the buyer's side, all of that stuff is going to create a better transaction for all parties involved. This doesn't mean you're going to run rings around the buyer. The buyer should have their own representation anyway, but it'll certainly keep unnecessary problems from stopping the proceedings.
Absolutely. And we also have something called continuing education. Every 2 years, an agent has to go and learn about what changes are happening in our world and stay up to date with things and, you know, rules and regulations and really understand every aspect of the real estate business. That is huge, and it should not be underestimated.
Changes in law. One of the things that Vinny talked about was that even though it's easier to market property now, there's so many more laws. There's so many more restrictions. There's so many more affidavits that have to be signed. There's so many more things that a homeowner has to do. We have a lot of situations where you have a millennial buyer and a baby boom seller, and the seller is just blown away. Well, it wasn't this hard when we bought, and you know, you don't want to say to them, well, look, when you bought, you were, you know, we wrote the contract on the back of a shovel with coal.
Phil,
you don't want to say
Phil,
that.
Let me share this with you. Phil, please forgive me. I taught all over the United States and Canada. I was teaching in West Virginia, and one of the brokers who was way older than me back then, he literally pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket about twice as big as a license. This is absolutely true. And he said, you know what this is, boy? And I said, no, sir. And he told me, this is my original listing agreement when I got into real estate like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a piece of paper, not even, as big as a 3x5 card, essentially.
Yeah. And now we have lead-based paint, and we have environmental disclosures, and there are property condition disclosures, and there are agency disclosures, and there's contractual addendums, and there's title, and there's all kinds of different legality kind of things that drive people crazy, and that's why you need a good team to make sure they can be managed.
That is definitely the truth. Anything else you would like to add here today? We have about 2 minutes left.
We have two minutes. Hire a good broker. Vet them. Unfortunately, people...
How does one find a good broker?
I would talk to people who have just had successful transactions. I would get on the internet. I would vet them, ask them about their local expertise, their track record. I would,
and don't be afraid to ask them about that track record.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask them, have you sold houses around here? How long have you been in the business? Are you full-time? Is this how you pay your bills? Is this part-time? That sort of thing.
That's really key as well. A lot of part-time agents are out there, and that doesn't mean that they're not as good, but you do want somebody who takes this very seriously. So even if you're dealing with somebody who's part-time, you really want to make sure that they understand the business, know the business. Are they going full-time? Is, you know, what? Why are they part-time? What's happening?
Yeah.
Because this is an industry where you can make more money than any other industry. Why are they part-time? I want to know that answer.
These are all valid questions to ask, so don't be shy. Unfortunately, I see people who put more emphasis in how to choose a Bluetooth for $50 at the electronics store than choosing the person who's going to shepherd their transaction, and that's just not smart consumer practices. I think that kind of is the way I would wrap it up.
Get
a good professional to represent you. And
there are more real estate agents coming into the market these days because the market is getting better. Just a little trivia for you.
Uh-huh.
I know that you're very popular with NAR, so you may know this answer. Mm-hmm. How many NAR members are there right now to date?
Let's try 1.1 million.
You are so smart. That's why I have you on the show.
Yeah.
It's 1,187,786 agents.
1.2 million.
In the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
As of May 2016.
Gotcha.
Yep. And there's a lot of local associations. Do you know how many associations there are across the country?
Probably close to 1,000.
1,200.
Okay.
Yep.
That's close to 1,000.
Yeah. Very good.
In a cosmic sense.
Yeah. So there are very good agents out there. They are in your local market. Contact one if you are looking to sell your home. I'm Victoria Rivadeneira. I could be reached at victoriariva.com. We also have our website at the revolution.com. And Phil, how do we reach you?
jphillip.com.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Phil, and we will see you next week, right?
See you then.
All right.
Thanks for joining in the revolution. Now you have the real estate solution. Every Wednesday night at 6, it's the program you should pick. Join us for the Revolution.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Revolution with your host, Victoria Rivadeneira. We're live from New York every Wednesday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. for everything real estate, right here on WRCR AM 1700 on air and simulcast on the web at WRCR.com. And we're streaming live on Periscope, Facebook, Meerkat, and YouTube. So come back every week for the Real Estate Revolution.